You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
So today, on this third Sunday of Lent, I find myself thinking about Sesame Street and remembering that song they used to do with the letter of the day. Well, children, today's letter is the letter L. We love the letter L here at Covenant Presbyterian Church because we talk about learning God's love and living God's love. And we especially love the letter L during this particular season of the year because it's the season of Lent. And during this season of Lent, we particularly love the letter L today because our key word is? Oh, you're so good at this game. Thank you so much for playing and remembering what the letter of the day is. Now, in case you forgot, Lent is a 40-day period going from Ash Wednesday all the way through to Easter, not counting the Sundays, when we as Christians try to do our best to get back on track, to reconnect with our faith, to reconnect with who we are, who we feel like we're called to be, to do a better job following Jesus and being a faithful disciple. This year, over the five Sundays of this season of Lent, we are focusing on five practices, or five disciplines, you might call them, that would help us in this journey. Over the first 2 weeks, we looked at fasting and praying, and today we're looking at listening, as you so wisely pointed out with the help of our Sesame Street friends. Now, for those of you who track and follow the church liturgical year, you may recall that the Sunday before Lent begins is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration is the name of a story that comes from Scripture, an account in Scripture of Jesus being on the mountain with three of his disciples, with Peter, James, and John. They're called up there, and they have this sort of mystical encounter on the mountain with Jesus. Moses and Elijah show up. The disciples aren't sure what to do with all this. Jesus is shining, dazzling white, the Scripture says. And then at the conclusion of the event, God's voice speaks out loud and clear, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." So we remember the Transfiguration every year liturgically on the Sunday before Lent begins. So to me, the entire season of Lent feels like an invitation to listen to Jesus, to listen to God, to listen to the Spirit guiding us, calling us, bringing us back, leading us forward on the journey. The five practices that we're focusing on in various ways seem to be all about listening. Last week we talked about praying, and while we might be tempted to think of prayer just as a laundry list of demands that we bring to God, it really, a lot of prayer is listening. Listening to ourselves, what concerns we have, and how God might be calling us to respond to those concerns. And then the other ones, fasting and simplifying and unplugging, you'll hear about the last two the next couple of Sundays, but what those are really about is like getting the junk out of the way so that we can hear God, so that we can experience God in new ways. So in some ways, all of Lent is about listening, and it seems appropriate that the word listening is right in the middle of our series here. Listening is important. Listening is hard. We live in a noisy world. We live in a busy world, and it can be hard to listen. About 22 years ago, I signed up for a pastor's conference on spirituality. And it was focused on prayer and spiritual growth. I sensed that that was something that I needed. And I recognized that I really needed that because I got to the conference late and showed up They had already started a few minutes, and I got settled, dropped my bags. It was a week-long event at a retreat center. I walked into the conference room where we were meeting, and there were about 25 people sitting in a circle quietly. So I pulled up a chair and sat down with them, expecting that soon someone would offer a spoken prayer, and then we would have a good workshop or discussion or lecture about spiritual formation. We sat there for another minute or so, and after a minute or two, I kind of opened my eye a little bit, peeked around the circle. Everybody else just sitting there quietly with their eyes closed. Nobody's moving. I'm like, okay. So I, you know, put my head down, close my eyes. Another couple minutes goes by. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I look around, nothing. That happens again and again. Eventually, I start thinking to myself, like, isn't somebody going to do something? Isn't somebody going to say something? I mean, I'm paying for this retreat. Are we just going to sit here for the whole week? What's going on? Well, after 20 minutes, which I was tracking on my watch because I wasn't really, you know, 20 minutes, somebody said amen, and I'm thinking, finally, now we're going to do something. Well, that was my first very unsuccessful experience with something that's called centering prayer. It's a tradition within the Christian church of using a lot of silence to listen for God, to get more deeply rooted and grounded. And happily, by the end of that week-long retreat experience, I was much more comfortable and much more enriched by a 10, 20, 30-minute period of collective silence to plug into God, to listen for God. And over the years, I have valued those times of silence in my own life. Sometimes I come here in the sanctuary, set the timer on my phone, and sit in silence. And I value those times. I probably should do more of those times, but I'm grateful for the times and grateful for that opportunity to listen for God. Our gospel reading for today is in some ways about listening for God, and it comes from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, where Jesus gives us an example of prayer and listening for God. Now, as always, with reading scripture, it's important to sort of set the context. And it comes from the end of chapter 1 of Mark's gospel. Those of you who've done Bible study know things move really fast in Mark's gospel. So in the beginning of Mark's gospel, there are a few things that we see. John is arrested. John the Baptist is arrested, which makes us think, ooh, what's going on here? Something counter to the power of empire, perhaps. Then Jesus comes proclaiming the good news and saying the kingdom of God is here. Well, what's this kingdom, Jesus? What's this all about? He says, repent, turn around, change your mind, change your direction, believe in this good news. And then he finds a couple of people who are fishing and calls them to follow him, to change their direction. And he says, come follow me and I'll make you fish for people. It's another way maybe of saying, I'll give you a new purpose. I'll give you a new intention. I'll give you a new direction for your life. And they drop their nets, so the story goes, and follow Jesus. So that's the beginning of Mark chapter 1. Then the subsequent verses in Mark chapter 1, remember, things happen really fast in Mark. It's the shortest gospel, a lot packed in. Jesus is preaching and teaching and healing people all over the place. So we get a sense maybe Jesus needs a break, maybe Jesus needs some Sabbath time, maybe Jesus needs to reconnect with his purpose, and that's where our scripture reading for today comes in, towards the end of Mark chapter 1. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for Jesus. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. So one way for us to take this discipline, this practice of listening seriously, is to look at the example of Jesus. Some people do this early in the morning. He got up early and went out and found a deserted place by himself for some prayer, maybe some scripture reading, maybe some reflection on his own, blocking out some quiet time. We can do that with scripture, with prayer, with silence in our own lives. Some people do that early in the morning. Other people think the God I know doesn't wake up till 8 o'clock and a cup of coffee. So, you know, whatever works for you, that's okay. It doesn't have to be early in the morning. Some people sit quietly in their car for a few minutes before going into work. Or some people pull in the driveway or their apartment building or wherever they live and sit quietly in the car for a few minutes before going home. Just take advantage of that time. Some people schedule 5 or 10 minutes on their phones and use their alarms or their buzzers to block out that time and maybe meditate on a scripture verse for the day. Some people use daily devotionals. We have some at the Welcome Center, hard copies. Some people use online devotionals. There are lots of ways to have a quiet time, if you will, with God. Many of us are super busy, so it's hard to make that happen. It takes some real deliberate intention on our part, like it did for Jesus. And even when we make the time, sometimes we get interrupted. Did you notice that about the scripture reading? Jesus goes off by himself early in the morning, and the disciples come running after him. Jesus, we need you. And Jesus is probably like, oh, I can't get away for a minute, right? But he's trying. When we find the time and carve out a little time for listening to God each day, we'll find ourselves growing in faith, hope, and love. We'll find ourselves being more authentic to the people that we're called to be. It's worth the time and the effort. And if you don't have a regular way of blocking out at least a few minutes to reconnect with God on a regular basis, this week is a perfect week to give that a try. Knowing that this is hard to do, at Covenant, we try to encourage one another and provide opportunities to do that. We did that in January when we invited everybody to read the book of Exodus, to read a chapter a day over the course of the month and read the devotionals and say a prayer that went along with it. We're going to do a similar thing in the month of April, encouraging people to read the book of Exodus, the book of Acts, a chapter a day. Wonderful book in the Bible about the early church, to block out some time every day to ponder who we are and what Scripture has to say to us. Those are great opportunities. We need to take advantage of them. One of the biggest challenges for us is listening with all the noise in our lives. Sometimes we have too many words around us, so silence is elusive, but silence can be a good thing. I learned that on that retreat 20-plus years ago, and I'd like to do a little bit of that this morning. We're not going to take 20 minutes. We're just going to take 60 seconds, 1 minute, to have some silence together. A couple people after the first service talked about how much they appreciated having silence in a group. We're going to take 60 seconds, which might feel like an eternity to some of us. And during that time, you can just sit and ponder. Or maybe you want to think about that wonderful biblical narrative with the boy Samuel and the priest, where Samuel is told to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Or maybe you just want to hang on to one of those simple prayers that Anne Lamott likes so much. We talked about those last Wednesday in our Wednesday worship service and last Sunday here. The simple prayer being, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Or, "Help me, help me, help me." Or maybe you just want to sit in silence. We're going to take 60 seconds to listen and pray. Amen. A second way, in addition to blocking out a specific quiet time, a second way to listen in this season is to listen for people. Listening to people with all the distractions and weariness and stress. Sometimes, maybe a lot of the times, we don't do a very good job of listening to the people in our lives, especially the people closest to us. We don't like it when people don't listen to us, but it's worth wondering, how good are we at listening to other people? David Brooks has a new book out, which has gotten really good reviews. I've only read a little bit of it, but what I've read, I've liked. And he's got this, the book is called How to Know a Person, The Art of Seeing Others Deeply and Being Deeply Seen. In one section, he's talking about listening, and he encourages us to be what he calls loud listeners, right? And the quote you see it on the screen here, when another person is talking, you want to be listening so actively that you're practically burning calories, right? Who thought you could get an aerobic workout by listening to somebody? Watch Oprah Winfrey, David Brooks writes, a true master of conversation as she interviews someone. You'll see her feeling in her highly reactive way the emotions the other person is describing. What great imagery. So are you a good listener? Most of us could improve in this department. As Christians, we're called to love our neighbors. We're called to be good and decent people. We're called to be kind and gracious and to do unto others what we would have them do to us. A big part of that is listening. And a big part of our listening is also listening to people whose voices sometimes don't get heard. The Presbyterian Church has a statement called a brief statement of faith. And for me, one of the best lines in that statement is talking about how the Spirit of God gives us the courage to hear the voices of people long silenced, right? There are a lot of people in our history whose voices have been silenced. For years, we thought slavery was okay because, hey, it's in the Bible. We weren't really listening to the voices of people who were enslaved. For a long time, we thought women shouldn't be in leadership in the church. Well, maybe we weren't listening, so on and so forth. So this wonderful phrase gives us that affirmation, and it links us in with our Matthew 25 initiative, a Presbyterian Church initiative that helps us to be thinking about poverty and about racism in our world today and really engaging with the systems and the structures of poverty. And to do that, we really need to do some listening, some deep listening. Those of us who are in majority demographics and not experiencing poverty right now, especially, right? Lots of opportunities for listening here. God calls us to love one another, to work for God's kingdom, and to do this effectively, we need to listen to people. So we listen to God with our quiet times, we focus on other people, and then the third and final way I want to offer today, there are a lot of ways to listen, I'm just offering three today. A third and final way, you could maybe say is just listen to God in your life. Listen to God in the culture that you're involved with the media that you're involved with, movies and TVs and books, podcasts. What's God saying through those experiences for you? When you go to, you know, see a sunrise or see a Broadway show or listen to music on the radio, is God speaking to us? One of the kids at the first service, when they were asked, like, how do you hear God speaking to you? And she said, when you're doing something that you love. I thought, wow, that's a deep young disciple that we have here at this church. Good for her. There's a simple and profound book that was written centuries ago, compiled centuries ago, by a monk known as Brother Lawrence. And the book is called The Practice of the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence is famous for his mindfulness in washing the dishes, right? Washing the dishes and experiencing God while he's doing this menial task at the monastery, even suggesting that he sees God and experiences God more closely while washing the dishes than he does when he's in times of structured prayer. What a fascinating idea that even a monk can experience God outside of a religious sort of atmosphere. So I want to encourage you to listen for God in the books that you read, in the shows you watch, in the podcasts you tune into, and even when you're washing the dishes. And I really would appreciate it if you didn't tell your spouse or someone you live with, like, you need to have a God experience, so go wash the dishes. That's not the point of the message for today. The idea is just inviting us to think about listening and all the different ways that we can do that. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, he talked about in one of his parables, and they weren't really getting it. And Jesus said, let anyone with ears hear, right? Just encouraging us to hear. And really, the hearing that we're talking about, it's not just with our ears. It's with our head, it's with our heart, it's with our lives. And the good news for us as we think about listening is that God continues to speak. God has something to say to us this day and every day. God continues to tell us that we are God's beloved children, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. God continues to tell us that we have new life, new purpose, new meaning ahead of us, that we're called by Jesus to follow Jesus and do great things. And God continues to tell us, especially in those hard and challenging times, that we can live with courage and hope and perseverance, trusting in God's steadfast, abundant, and eternal love. God is speaking. Are you listening? God is calling. Can you hear?